Welcome on into the Point After, hanging out the Swamp Room. 5,400 veterans in Metairie hope to see you Hoodats out here after the black and gold unfortunately fall in the season opener to the Arizona Cardinals 20-13. Now time to get the Cajun Cannons take on the game. Bobby, it was a rough one, hard-fought battle for this black and gold bunch, and unfortunately could not extend that season-opening win streak in the Dome.
Well, I think this is going to happen more than not, so I know I'm going to get an ulcer. I know I'm going to get an ulcer at the end of the game. It's going to be torment. It's going to be torment. Deuce and I was talking about this in the pregame. In the red zone, you have to score. And you cannot be 1 of 4 in the red zone. You get down there, you got to get touchdowns. You're just not going to win. The NFL is just too tough. I mean, it ends up being so close. Oh, we played hard, Bobby. We played hard, hard. What is that? What is that going to get you? A cup of coffee? I mean, you know, playing hard, but it's the pros. I mean, either you won or you lost, but I like the effort. They're playing hard for Coach Kellen Moore. But so close, but so far, like I said, you don't think Vegas knows what they're talking about?
Unreal.
That point spread was 6.5. What was the final score? 20-13. What? I said take the Saints and the points, and I lost by half a point. No, it's amazing. And to show you the parity in the league, we have now played the Cardinals 33 times in life. Whether they win St. Louis playing at Busch Stadium and now they're in Phoenix. It was 16-16, now it's 16-17. So we won 16 and lost 17. We all remember the most monumental game when we kicked their ass in the postseason to go to the Super Bowl. Remember that was Kurt Warner and the Cardinals, that was then we ended up winning. So that counts. I just don't count the regular season series. So and we had their number at home. We were like 9-4 winning at home, whether it's Tulane Stadium, old school, Art of Superdome, now it's 9-5. I don't know. I'm asking Coach Kellen Moore this because I'm a little spoiled with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. We always like pedal to the metal clock management at the end of the first half. It looks like the Cardinals were going to score, but we don't save your timeouts. We needed to utilize those timeouts at the second quarter. We'd have had roughly around a minute. And you know why you want to try and score at the end of the first half? Because it's a 2-for-1. We get the ball to start the third quarter. So that's how aggressive you have to play. And Coach Kellen Moore is going to learn from that, but I'm definitely going to bring that up. And like Deuce is saying, I preach this. I preach this whether it's the LSU Tigers, whether it's the Saints or high school football. Penalties. You might say, well, it's an effort penalty or you jump off sides, alignment and all that stuff. I don't know. Penalty's a penalty. All I know is I know this from Coach Moore, paying attention to detail, that you cannot have 9 penalties or more or 100 yards. It's like giving up a touchdown. What did we lose by?
A touchdown.
Right. Well, you know, you are not going to win when all said and done when you have these kind of penalties. You had 13 penalties, not 9, not 10, but 13. Then 89 yards.
What was it, 8 in the first half?
No, we had, I think we had 7. I want to say 8. We had 8 for 59 yards right in the first half. No, that was not good. That'd be on the borderline for the whole game. And we had that in the first half. You cannot have that. You know why? Because it puts you behind the sticks. What I mean, Bobby, what are you talking about behind the sticks? Then you got third and double digits. Or 2nd and 15, or 1st and 15.
Right.
No, the NFL's too good. You're not going to convert on 3rd down. That means you're not setting the tone. You're not possessing the football. What ended up happening, the Cardinals had the ball 7.5 minutes more than we did because on 3rd down, not good enough. No, I don't want to say we suck. Suck would be 27%. We were 35.5%, 5 of 14.
Right.
That's not good. And so I can look at all these things. But, oh, Aver, it's not all about the numbers. It is a lot about the numbers when you got great playing great. You pros. When you got pros, I'm telling you, all of that comes into play. What I am encouraged by, and not necessarily encouraged because the quarterback runs do count, and we were 1 before last stopping the run. Well, we gave up last year 4.9 yards against the run. Today we gave up 5.4. And I'm disappointed in that because I think we will be better long-term stopping the run, but not so much today. And all runs count, you might say. Well, Bobby, take away that chunk play. Why take it away? Because it all counts. Remember Benson had that 52-yard run?
You
can
hurt.
Yes, you cannot give up those type of runs. And Kyler Murray, you know, again, looking at Vegas, you like the over and under? A number of people said Kyler Murray over and under, 25 rushing yards. I just think the way he runs around, he's going to have in his sleep more than 25 yards. Not that much. He only ended up with 38.
And Benson ended up averaging 8.6 a carry.
It's by committee. And, you know, we like Calvin Kamara, 4.1 yard average. What I'm encouraged by is Kendre Miller and Devin Neal.
Right.
Kendre Miller averaged 4.8, Devin Neal 4.5. That's winning football. And what I do like I said, the Saints, we didn't average 3.8, 3.9. We were at 4.9 yard average. So not good
thumbs
stopping
up
the run, but that was very good us trying to run the football. I'm going to tell you, we have to be opportunistic or we're not going to win. What I mean by that is taking the football away. Not only do we got to protect it, we got to take the ball away. When the game is all said and done, and if it hits your hand, you have a chance to intercept it, you got to intercept it. Punch the ball out, whatever. Steve, you very seldom see a game, no fumbles, no interceptions.
Yep.
No, so we're not minus, but we're not plus. We need to be plus. We need all the help we can have. And that was one thing what the Cardinals are trying to do. If you look at the turnover margin, what occurred last year, and one reason why that they weren't a playoff team, you know, we know we were, and we only won five games. We were minus two in the turnover margin. Last year, they were minus three. So that's something they are working on. But there was no turnovers. So, like I said, we got to take away the football when all said and done. And again, the red zone efficiency, you cannot be 1 of 4. And then we would want them to be 1 of 3, not 2 of 3, 67%. Because that's going to be amongst the best if you average around that in NFL, your red zone efficiency. And goal to go. If you got goal to go efficiency, man, we're inside the 10 yard line. First down, Saints, first and goal to go from the 7 or 8 yard line. You got to get in the end zone where we end up being 0 for 1. And they were, you know what they were? 2 for 2. See, something like that. Can you finish? Can you finish? That's one thing about Spencer Rattler, and I said this in the pregame. I've said this in training camp. He's moving the team. I've seen him in drills when he's competing with Chuck and all that. He's moving the team. But how many times all of a sudden, he's moving the ball.
Got to finish.
And it was good for our defense because we would intercept the ball. You know, good for the defense. You get a takeaway, and not only are you stopping them, you know, ultimately you want them to settle for field goals. We'll be getting in the red zone, and we're not scoring. We have not. That's one thing. Now, you remember Jacksonville, how we wanted in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do that a bunch of times. You know, you got to be able to finish. So that's one thing. Spencer knows that we have to be able to finish in the red zone with all said and done. Again, I still think you might want Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed to be the explosive go-to receivers. But I still think it's going to be Juwan Johnson. You know, if Juwan Johnson, you know, you got him in fantasy football, whatever, at tight end, and he got targeted the most, he got targeted 11 times, and Chris Olave got it targeted 13 times. But Juwan Johnson, 8 catches, 76 yards. He's going to have, if he's playing, he's going to have over 80 to 90 receptions.
So close to scoring at the end of the game, too.
Yes, and make the great catch.
Right.
And that was the long game, 21 yards. Marvin Harrison, I don't know, Kool-Aid, I want to drink the Kool-Aid on Kool-Aid, but he got a ways to go. Kool-Aid's competing, but he ain't no Lattimore. He's not even, to me, he's not even a Paulson or Debo. You know how, Debo was a little too handsy. And Lattimore, sometimes you didn't like his attitude. And I think McKinstry's playing hard, but he's going to get picked on.
For sure.
We saw that Davante Adams, when they were going against the Rams. I go, we were playing the Rams right now. They would give him 15 targets. Now, you got to help out and mix it up, with Kool-Aid. But no, Marvin Harrison, they end up going after him. They target him 6 times, 5 catches. He had that 45-yard long gain. And then he also beat Kool-Aid on the touchdown.
Right.
You remember that short touchdown? I think it was only a 1-yard grab, but I could see Juwan Johnson definitely being involved, with as far as getting the targets and the catches. Now, the punting game, you look at the returning game, that all matters. We got to win on special teams because that has never been a liability. We've always been in the top five and not the top three. Even though we don't have Dan Rizzi, we have Coach Galliano, we have to continue to excel and win in that area. I thought Kendre Miller was outstanding. You have a kick return for 43 yards. man, I guarantee, and you're averaging 29 yards, that'll be in the top three in the whole NFL. So that has to continue. Rashid Shaheed, only put one punt return. He fair caught the other one, but 11 yards, double digits. That was a good thing. Now, not so much. The one thing about Kroger, I'm not talking about the grocery store Kroger. And he might be related to him. I don't know. He won the net. This is a great net. He can punt it far, but sometimes you can't out punt your coverage. If you're going to punt it far, you got to angle it out of bounds and don't out kick your coverage. Well, he ended up having a 43-point net. They had a 42.5 with Gilligan. We know Blake Gilligan. He was here, and now he's there. He's a traveling all-star. You just have to make it wherever you can. But we did give up a punt return of 23 yards. See, that's where the punter has to grow and help him when you're trying to flip the field, and all that matters. Now, looking from a defensive perspective, Pete Werner led the team in tackles. Look, he had 9 total tackles, 7 and assists. He had a sack, a quarterback hurry. Demario Davis, he doesn't look like an old man. He had a couple tackles for loss. He also had 9 combined tackles. The two players on defense that disappointed me, one of them we paid a lot of money, and he's a homeboy, Dutchtown, Justin Reed,
right,
from the Chiefs. Justin Reed, I got to get this in my notes, because this is a significant drive at the time. You know, when you dare to make the tackle, or are you going to make the tackle, or are you going to miss
the
tackle?
Quarter?
No, that was the third quarter. I want to say, I have to find, I'm going to find exactly, but he missed the tackle on that particular play. And I want to say it was like a 3rd and 12 situation. I'm going to find it. Yeah, Steve, whatever. But the point was, Justin Reed, he missed the tackle, and we did had to punt.
Yep.
And then he also,
I think that was second.
And was second quarter.
I think so.
Yeah, because I talked about that at halftime. I should have remembered that. And then he also, got beat in a pass coverage. Yeah, here it is right here. It was, at the time, the score was 10-10. And they end up sustaining. They went 10 plays, 71 yards. If Justin Reed, we need him to come up big. He did not come up there. It was 3rd and 10. He hit McBride, 12-yard gain. Yeah. Make the tackle. And then he also, McBride beat him in coverage for a 25-yard gain. And then Connor ended up, Murray to Connor, that little flip play, 4-yard touchdown to make it 17-10. You need your great players to play great. I'm not putting any added pressure. It's just the way it is. And that was, so I was a little disappointed in Kool-Aid, a little bit in Justin Reed. I thought, you know, we always talk about diamond in the rough. You know who truly was not a diamond in the rough, but a diamond? I mean, he's a shiny old diamond. Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan.
Just polish
was awesome.
Him up a little.
Cam Jordan, look, he set the tone, minus 11. You remember at the beginning of the game? A great defensive start, minus 11. He gets Colin Irvin. That's a hard dude to track down. Look at Cam Jordan, a sack and a half. He ended up with 3 total tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hurries, a pass defended.
Filling up that stat sheet.
Filling up. That's what Carl Grandison. I thought the guys that were familiar with Carl Grandison and Cam Jordan, they both had a sack and a half. Carl Grandison, a tackle for a loss, quarterback hurry, and 2 passes defended. Now, you look on special teams, that area, your covered units. And that's one reason why he made the team over, you look, who's the guy, the linebacker from Appalachian State that went to the Bears?
DeMarco Jackson.
DeMarco Jackson. They kept Stallbird instead.
Right.
DeMarco Jackson or Nephi Sewell. You know, Stallbird led the team. And special teams tackles with 2. So doing his job, a young guy, getting that kind of that tweener, a big safety, smallest linebacker, but he can contribute at a high level on special teams. But I think we're just going to have these type of games every time. It's not nothing going to be easy. When we win this year, we need a little bit of luck. The ball bounced our way, and we got to take it away.
Like you said, between my heart and my stomach, I don't know if it's going to be able to take it this year.
No, because it's going to be, and you know what? And this is the kind of game we have to win. We're not going to be in those shootouts. If a team scores 30-some points against us, I'd say shame on our defense, and we're not going to keep pace. No, I think it's going to be like a 2013. It's going to be like 17-13 or those type of games I think we're going to see throughout the season. And it ain't going to get easier. The 49ers are coming to town. You can see our next opponent right now. They on the late game playing against the Seattle Seahawks. It's now 7-7. 49ers coming to town. And then I think we go to Seattle, right? And then we go to the Buffalo Bills. No, I'm telling you, that's why I just got to find a way to win.
We've got the left coast and the east coast.
Yeah, give me an ugly win versus, boy, look how entertaining we were, but we lost. No, I'd rather win ugly. I'd rather win 3-2. You know what? Boy, that was some terrible football. They got to say that we kicked the field goal.
Victory
baseball,
is pretty.
A baseball score. We won 3-2 versus, all I know about, it was 38-37, but we didn't win. No, give me an ugly win, because it's all about did you win or lose the game. And, boy, just a gut-wrenching loss, because the Saints are right there at the end. They were fighting hard. And, you know, the Who Dat Nation was there to cheer. You know, and they set the tone at the beginning. And when you look at it, at the beginning of the game, the crowd was into it. We already had 3 sacks. Even though we were down 3-0, we took the lead. We were able to play at the right time, stand up and get crunk.
We were crunking.
We went 10 plays, 75 yards. Alvin Kamara, 18-yard touchdown. And that was a red zone touchdown. But we need to have more of that in the red zone.
Saints fall 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals in the season opener. We are here at the Swamp Room on Vets and Metairie. Come check us out here on The Point after taking a break. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're rocking and rolling here on The Point After here at the Swamp Room. Saints falling 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals in their season opener. Let us begins right now. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Come on out to the Swamp Room, 5,400 veterans in Metairie to say hey to the Cajun Cannon. Also, you can call in on our WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870 is the number. Hollywood in Thibodeau is first up after the Saints lose their season opener 20-13 to Arizona. Hollywood, how you doing today despite the loss, man?
Pretty good. How y'all doing, fellas?
We're hanging in there, Hollywood. It was a tough one to watch for the black and gold because it was so close there at the end.
And Hollywood, it might be a lot of games might be like this. So,
right.
I don't know, flip a coin, you win or lose. I think, you know, they played hard, but, you know, you got to win. And it's just frustrating because I thought this is a game that we can win. Look, the Cardinals, I think they're going to be in the thick
of things. Up for them.
Yeah, the arrow's up for them. And Kyler Murray, they think he's the guy. But that game was very winnable.
Yeah.
I got a few things to say, Bobby.
Go ahead.
We got to learn how to win at the house, for number one. They got way too many penalties. They got 13 total. We got to get that down to about 6. And Blake Griffin, you got to make that 30.
Yeah, that's 5 or 6. Yeah, you're not going to listen. You're never going to play a game. Well, no, you don't want any penalties, but you're going to have probably a handful, but you can't have 2 handfuls.
Right.
You cannot have that. And I don't know. I just said, I mean, I wish now Blake Groupie would have missed 10 field goals in training camp. He was unbelievable. And what did he miss, a 38-yarder?
Right.
No, just think how all those little bitty things, the margin of error, we cannot afford. All those things like that we have to be able to accomplish, and we have to take it for granted. Oh, Blake Groupie's kicking a field goal, are we making it? And hopefully this is only missed for the season, because we've seen him kick 50-plus kicks in a training camp and only miss one. So, to me, he had his miss today, make all the rest of his kicks. And they weren't all, you know, just 40 yarders. A number of 50-plus yard kicks, and he made all of them. And inclement weather and different environments. So, we cannot afford to not get any points, especially from a kicker like Groupie, who I think is amongst the best in the whole NFL.
But that was Hollywood.
Cam Jordan, 2 sacks and a batted ball.
Yeah, no. Cam Jordan, a sack. They gave him a sack and a half. They split the sack with Carl Granison and him. But, 2 tackles for a loss, a batted ball, a quarterback hurry. You know, you look at a quarterback hurry, quarterback pressure, and the king of that is Chase Young. Chase Young, they want him to be ready to roll dealing with the calf injury. He was not available. And last year, they paid Chase Young the big bucks. He was either 5th or 6th in the whole NFL.
Sixth in pressures, right.
In quarterback pressures. Well, that's why you do influence the quarterback. Now, McKinstry had, Kool-Aid had 1, Grandison had 2, and Cam Jordan had 1. And, I'll take that back. I was looking at pass defending. Pete Warner had 1, Carl Grandison had 1, and Cam Jordan had 2 quarterback hurries. And even if he's not getting the sack, when Chase Young's available, now you want him to finish the deal and get the sack, he's always good for every game, seeing like he's going to have a couple, at least two quarterback hurries, quarterback
getting pressure. After it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for the call, Hollywood. We're taking a break here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You can stop by and say hey at the point after at the Swamp Room. 5,400 veterans in Metairie will be here after every home game, folks. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon also on our WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Be back with more of the point after right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here at the Swamp Room, 5,400 vets in Metairie for the point after the Saints, unfortunately falling in their season opener 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals in the Caesar Superdome. Rough outing for the black and gold,
well,
Cajun Cannon.
And to show you,
our stat man, Brian Duvall, sent us something.
Yeah, Brian, this is awesome. And really, to me, shame on our defense. Let's say we scored 10 more points, 23. I would say, well, yeah, the way we structured that 23 should be enough to win the game.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch Saints football, let's say post-Katrina or around there, let's say like a couple of decades, the 13 points today scored by the Saints are the fewest they've scored in a week one game, you know, when you're trying to set the tone.
Right.
Since 2007, after we were in the NFC Championship, when we got waxed in Indianapolis, when they only scored 10 points. I remember we kicked, you know, we win the NFC Championship, and we were playing at Indianapolis. I want to say we had our then we paid Dookie David, the cornerback. Was that the time we paid
Jason
him?
David?
Yeah, Dookie David. Yeah, Jason, we paid him a bunch of money, and Peyton Manning was burning him. I think we lost that game 40-something to 10. So it wasn't that type of game, but that was the last time to kick off the season week one. We haven't. You're not going to win too many games only scoring 13 points.
No, we know that was a problem we saw, like you mentioned, drive stalling in preseason, in the training camp, and in preseason games.
Yeah, and the red zone. We moved the football.
Right.
Look, the proof's in the pudding. That's not just an opinion. When you look at red zone efficiency, no, we were down there four times and only we won for four. No, that has to be at least 2-for-4, if not 3-for-4. Then you're really clicking and you're setting the tone. And then, you know, you're kind of controlling the narrative. And again, it all goes hand in hand. Red zone, third down, you know, time of possession to give our defense a break when they play and they're not worn down. You know, the Cardinals end up having the ball, like I said, 7.5 minutes more than we did. And they only, you know, this is not winning football. We gave up 146 yards rushing on 27 carries. So
and Benson was the problem.
Benson had that long run, and unless Kool-Aid could have pushed him out earlier, and he didn't, so it turned into a 52-yard run as he averaged 8.6 yards a carry on 8 carries. But that's the 1-2 punch. You know, you look at Connor. Connor's a stud like Alvin Kamara.
Exactly.
But you look at the contribution from Benson. Well, if we can continue with this, Kamara's going to be the guy with the 1-2 punch with Kendre Miller and Devin Neal, where they average 4.8 and 4.5. That's getting it done from the running back position.
Cannon, we're going to check out our WWL Talk and Text line. We got Jimmy and Gretna wanting to sound off after the Saints loss. Jimmy, how you doing after this one, man?
Hey, how y'all doing? Look, it was great. I was in the game. I saw Bobby before the game. And a lot of people were trying to meet him, get his autograph, get pictures. Look, number one, I was disappointed that fans left so early. I saw in the third quarter, you know, fans were leaving early. Obviously, we came up a little bit short. And I know somebody, you know, we always want to crucify the quarterback. I thought Rattler played pretty well. I don't know what his stats exactly were, but I was there watching.
Yeah.
I thought he made some good decisions. Of course, there was a little bit of room for improvement. All I'm saying is, guys, he definitely didn't lose the game. And like you guys said, that missed kick really hurt. I know it happens, but, man, we don't have much of a margin of error with this team.
Amen.
Considering our level of talent. And I'll be the first to say the last couple years, Cam Jordan, thank you, but, you're getting old. He proved me wrong, and
okay.
He reversed Father Time today. And I got to give him some credit for that. I also want to get your take on Kendre Miller returning those kicks. I was kind of surprised, but I thought he did pretty well. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, he had three kick returns. He averaged 29 and a half yards a kick return. He had that long gain of 43. No, Kendre Miller, no, that counts. Because you flip in the field, and the way, you know, they're going to give a kick return as a number of opportunities, and then you have a good return, all of a sudden you need to get maybe one or a couple of first downs, then you're in scoring range. No, I thought Spencer Rattler, let me tell you right now, Tyler Shuck could not have played better than Spencer Rattler. To me, Spencer Rattler played well enough to win, but he got to get some help.
Yep.
How about you make a contested catch? All the receivers. I don't care who it is. Juwan Johnson, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks, whoever. Y'all got to help him out. Even Vele. You know, the receiver, the tall, big receiver we got from Denver?
Right.
They called the interference against him, but I'm like, how about you catch the ball even though they interfered with you? No, they did not help Spencer Rattler out. Now, I know his quarterback rating was only 70.4, but I thought we had some drops. The one thing is pocket presence. He only got sacked one time. And, you know, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray can run around. And, you know, he got sacked five times. You would think if you'd have told me, okay, at the beginning of the game, somebody's going to get sacked five times and the other guy's only going to get sacked one, I would have said Spencer Rattler's
right.
going to get sacked five times and Kyler Murray only once. But no, it was the other way around. Kyler Murray got sacked five times. At the beginning of the game, we sacked him three times. Now, a couple of times, you know, you can be out the pocket, throw it away. It was kind of garbage sacks given up on the offensive line. I don't know if he wanted to, probably his completion percentage, he didn't want to go down. He ended up having a quarterback rating almost 109. You know, when you get a couple of touchdowns, no picks, that's what occurs. But I thought Spencer Rattler played winning football. And I'm not just taking up for the quarterback. Oh, Avery, you're just taking up for the quarterback. No, I'm telling you.
Spencer, no, you tell it like it is. Everyone knows that.
Spencer Rattler's not the reason why we didn't win this game. I'll tell you. Spencer Rattler, to me, how about the receivers? How about you make a big play? Somebody help him out and come up big time. I thought Spencer Rattler did his job for us to win this type of game.
Got to love the Who Dat Nation, though, Cajun Cannon. They're here at the Swamp Room, 5,400 veterans in Metairie for the point after. We're going to take a break. When we return, we'll hear from quarterback Spencer Rattler right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who Dat Nation, definitely loud and proud here at the Swamp Room, 5,400 vets in Metairie for the point after. Spencer Rattler spoke after the game, the Saints falling to the Arizona Cardinals, 20-13. Let's hear from the Saints starting quarterback.
Thanks to the two-minute drive and the last play.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really well-executed drive. I thought we, you know, took completions when they were there and moved the ball up at an elite level on that last drive. You know, we've been in that situation, I feel like, so much. We're very comfortable doing that tempo at the end. Game of inches, you know. I think that guy made a good play on that ball to Juwan. But, you know, I told Juwan before that play, hey, I'm coming at you, so be ready. And, you know, I'll throw that to him 100 times out of 100, you know. So very close, very close. Got to some way finish that out.
You put it extremely high, and he got to. And I didn't, you put it where you wanted to, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only spot it could be. They're playing very soft, you know, in that situation of the game. And, you know, we've repped that play many times. You know, that's where we wanted it to be.
How do you evaluate your performance today?
You know, I thought it was fine. You know, I think as a group, 13 penalties as a team, you know, you're not going to win many games with that. Got to finish in the red zone when we have opportunities. I think we got down there and kind of stalled out. Got to figure out a way to be better there. But I thought our energy was great. I thought we were very balanced in the first half with our run and pass game, moving the ball pretty well. It was a battle the whole game till the end. Defense played well. Brian had a great block kick. You know, we got down there. I think we got a field goal right there. We got 7 points there. But literally came down to the last second. And I'm telling the guys, hey, we're going to go down and win this game. And we all 100% thought that was going to happen.
Spencer, did you have any anticipation you'd be finishing this game with 46 pass attempts when you kind of went through the game plan this game?
You know, we're always ready for whatever happens. Still a couple of missed opportunities out there, obviously, but, you know, thought we were efficient. A couple of third downs we could have been better on, you know, being behind the sticks. I thought we found a way to convert in certain situations on fourth down as well towards the end of the game. But I think just the flow of the game, we got to take advantage of momentum and finish in the red zone when we have the opportunity.
So I think of your 2-minute drive in preseason against the Jags. When you maybe look at that, how much confidence did you have in successfully finishing that drive today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt the same exact situation. You know, I thought their defense today didn't pressure as much as we thought they would. It was a, you know, shell fest. They took away the back end, did a good job with that. Thought we ran the ball well, like I said, and then, you know, taking the underneath stuff, which was there. But, yeah, that two-minute drive, you know, we've been in that situation before. We work it in practice so much, and all of us thought we were going to go down, tie that game up, or win it with a two-point conversion. We'll be in that situation again at some point this year, and it'll be a better outcome.
Those last two drives at the end of the game were much more efficient. Was there something about the operation, something about everybody that it just got cleaner in the last two drives? Is there a reason for that?
I think we're a really good tempo team. I think we do a good job of distributing them when we're playing fast. Obviously, in that situation of the game, you're going to get different looks. So I thought we did a good job of pushing the ball down the field when needed, but also taking what's underneath when it's there. You know, credit to them. They made some good plays, but we shot ourselves in the foot too much today. I think if we cut those penalties in half, we win this game.
Blake, you did that obviously in the preseason as well. Is there anything you like about the way you've been playing in those situations?
Just decisive. I thought, you know, you got to protect the ball in those situations, make good decisions. I feel like, you know, we didn't have any turnovers today, which is, you know, usually the outcome is better. But, you know, I think we're a good tempo team. I think we can take a step when we're not going tempo. Take a better step when we're not going tempo.
You did have the interception that got called back. Was that you saw one of those opportunities to get past the shell?
Yeah, you know, I saw Shahid one-on-one. You know, the corner, Johnson, he's a good ball player, good ball skills. And, you know, he got a little deeper than I thought and just a little miscommunication. Tried to give a shot early, and we got lucky on that one.
Would you have liked to get a chance to run the 2 minutes at the end of the first half when Kevin didn't call timeouts, but they had the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tough situation. You know, we had timeouts, I think, right? But we're going to trust what Kellen does, you know. We called a run, and, you know, they're going to play so soft in that situation. We probably have to get 30 yards to get in range or 25. So it had to be – there's risk and reward to that. We trust in what Kellen's going to do. And, you know, we had the ball coming out, so we want to go out and score. Obviously didn't. Got to be better there. But trust in what coach is – calling.
What's the process for you guys this week in cleaning up the pre-snap stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's all details in practice and walkthroughs, whatever we're doing, you know. Use a lot of different cadence today. We got to be settled in. Got to be better. Communication, myself. We got to be detailed as a group better on both sides of the ball. So I think that's detail throughout the week. You know, locker room talk. Hey, we got to lock in on this situation. Let's not, you know, flinch. Let's not have a motion. You know, refs were very tight-knit on that stuff today, and we knew that coming in. Thought we could have got some more calls. I mean, I think that ball to Shahid in the end zone was pass interference. You know, had an opportunity for a touchdown there, and obviously didn't get the call, but hey, next play mentality, got to finish, got to be better in the red zone.
Is that frustrating when, you know, as Kellen Moore mentioned, he was saying that there wasn't that issue during the preseason in terms of the pre-snap penalties, and was Temple maybe a cause of that? Maybe there were times maybe you guys could have slowed down and got set?
You know, we want to be clean at all times of the game. You know, guys are going to be tired. The defense is tired. We're tired going fast, but we got to be focused when we're tired. And I think just repping that throughout the week, being detailed in the game, communicating at a high level, we could be better there.
Anything that sticks out on the first and goal from the three in particular, like any opportunity in that drive?
Just, you know, we just got to punch that in. You know, we had an opportunity. You'd think we'd get that in, but hey, on to the next. We'll get it next time.
That's obviously there's going to be a lot of focus on the final catch or not catch, but what did you think of your one day in general? Is it like a guy you're very comfortable?
Just like last year, he's a guy, you know, we want to go to. I mean, he's a great player. Made a lot of big-time catches today on third down as well. And he's just such a safe target to throw to. Big frame and he's a competitor. So in that situation, we want to go at him. He's a mismatch on that field. He can get up higher than anybody. And he high-pointed the ball really well on that play. And I got to see it on film. I don't know what happened. I think maybe the safety somehow got it out. But I'm throwing that ball to him 10 out of 10 times.
When Chris got back
find Will Johnson.
Yeah.
Does your mind go, like, this concussion history at all?
I was very relieved, you know, he didn't get injured from that. That was such a bang-bang play. You know, we're coached if, hey, that nickel comes and that end squeezes, we're throwing that out there. They had the perfect call for that play and kind of caught us off guard with it. And I'm just happy, first, it wasn't a backward pass, and second, he's healthy after it, because I went up to him. I said, hey, man, I'm not trying to get you blown up there. I want to get you the ball in space, but we got to all be on the same page.
I was good to see how tough he was, because there was a few times he was going back to the tent trying to, like, yeah. But he was still toughing it out and playing. How tough was it?
He's a tough dude. You know, he's reliable. He's tough. You know, but obviously you want to keep him out of situations like that, you know. So we'll try to do better in that part, but I got to play ball at the same time.
Outside of the, you know, obviously discouraged by the loss, I'm sure. But, like, outside of the end result, like, are you encouraged at all by stuff today? Like, how do you process, like, the overall, like, direction of the team?
Yeah, I mean, that was a four-quarter battle. I mean, obviously we're not happy with losing at all. So we gotta be better. First of all, like, penalties, stuff like that. You know, situational football. I thought we were good in, but you know, it's week one. Like Colin said, after, we're not gonna go undefeated this season. We got a lot to build on, and we're looking on to next week. Got a lot of stuff to clean up from this week, but we could have won that game if you clean some things up.
What are your emotions like for you just starting your day and coming out the tunnel and all that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a obviously great opportunity. You know, it's a blessing to be able to play here and get a chance at starting and lead the guys. So I do my best to put my best foot forward and try to lead and help us win games. But we're going to keep building, keep working. Love these guys. Love playing with them.
Being named the starter before the season, does it feel any different from playing last season?
I would say so. Yeah, it feels like a clear vision. You go out there, you don't have to worry about nothing. Play fast, play your game, and just lead. I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, teams got trust in me, coaches got trust in me. I just got to keep getting better, keep leading, and we're gonna get some wins.
I saw this as a negotiation in certain situations where you're maybe rolling to one side or the other, and kind of have an option to get the ball downfield or run. How do you negotiate that?
Yeah, there was one today to CO on the left side. I tried to throw it, and it kind of faded on me. I probably could have just run there. I think towards the end of the game, was more decisive with running with how soft they were. But, yeah, I mean, you got to pick your right spots for it. Obviously, I'll look at tape and see what we can do in that area.
Was the tempo you all used today game plan specific, or is that something that part of your arsenal all year, you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's something you want to use all year to your advantage. You know, obviously some stuff on tape we saw game plan-wise, we wanted to use that, and it worked out well. Like I said, when we're not doing tempo, we got to be cleaner, have better communication to execute those plays.
What do you think about awesome Richards coming in and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of holding down for a couple of drives?
Yeah, you know, you hate to see Tally, your best guy up front, one of your best guys up front, go down towards the end. But I thought he stepped up. I thought the O-line did a great job all day. You know, we only took one sack, and that was my fault. Should have got to the back on third and, you know, eight. But one sack, you know, versus a team that causes a lot of havoc, I mean, that's a good stat. Obviously, it can be better, but O-line did a great job.
Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler speaking to the media after their 20-13 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Rattler went 27-46 passing, 214 yards. Also was second on the team in rushing yards with 29. He averaged 7.3 a carry. Right now we're going to take a break here on The Point After. You can stop by, say, hey, who dat to the Cajun Cannon. We're at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie. This place is a-hopping. Despite the Saints loss, people still celebrating here at the Swamp Room. Make sure you stop by, say, who dat. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Hanging out here at The Point After, Swamp Room, 5400 veterans in Metairie. Can stop by, say hey to the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Before we roll on, I want to give a happy Who Dat birthday out to William Bonanno, a big old sponsor for the Black and Gold. So thanks for tuning in, William Bonanno. Happy birthday to you. Going to check in now.
Well, you know who else's birthday is today?
Who you got?
And listen, I said, tell Steve to remind me, DePaul, Tim Acosta from Rouse's.
Oh!
His birthday is today, too. Tim Acosta, you know, I mean, you know, my connection, my hookup with Rouse is, you know, we both turned 65.
Right, exactly.
You know, Rouse, you know, talk about homegrown.
Two great things born in the same year.
Homegrown, 65 years of age. Happy birthday, Tim Acosta.
Going to check out our WWL talk and text line. We've got Nick in New Orleans wanting to sound off here on the Point After. Nick, how's it going today, man? What you got?
Hey, how's it going, Bobby? I'm actually driving back up to Barksdale Air Force Station. You guys are talking about birthdays, my son's 10-year-old birthday, so I did a doubleheader. We went to the LSU game, and now Saints game today. But I wanted to call in. You know, penalties is the common denominator we're talking about today. A lot of, you know, pre-snap penalties we got to clean up. I am very optimistic, though, about the team. I think that they got, you know, Coach Moore is going to clean that up, and just hearing Rat Dad talk about some missed opportunities. And an opportunity that I saw that was very critical, we talked about the missed field goal, but the DPI that was not called, the defensive pass interference, I believe was on Johnson and Sheed. It was 3rd and 5. I mean, we were still booing. The whole dome was still booing when Groupie went out there to kick that field goal. I think that actually had a little bit of an effect for that missed field goal as well. But that, I don't know what you guys thought about how much of an effect that had it on the game, because had they called that, you know, we're first in a goal at the 1. We're going to punch it in. You're looking at a whole different ball game and a whole different outcome. I know it's hard to say one single play, but that one really stood out to me. And we're talking about penalties, how they killed us, but they killed us on that end, too.
Yeah, but you never know what crew you're going to get. Are they going to be flag happy? Because this is ridiculous. I mean, to me, anytime you're calling more than 15 penalties, you're too much a part of the game. Well, they had 9 penalties against them, so that's 22 penalties they called in the game. That's way too many. Now, if you have a false start and it's a technical penalty, you know, you have to call that. But I don't know if it's because of week one, but they have officials at practice, both the Cardinals and the Saints. We should be more disciplined within that. But 22 penalties for the game, the ebb and flow, how that, you know, goes about. Now, that was way too many penalties for my liking. So,
I think for anybody's.
I mean, you know what I feel bad for, though? Because, I mean, I thought he played winning football.
Spencer's
now 0-7 as a professional quarterback. So, Spencer, I'm going to tell you, hang in there. You're doing the right thing, how you carry yourself. And going forward, no, Spencer Rattler is an NFL quarterback. Now you just got to keep fighting. Just keep fighting, and you're handling adversity, and one day the ball will bounce your way, and you'll come away with a win.
Well, it looked like he had a touchdown to Juwan Johnson there, just couldn't bring it in.
Yeah, couldn't make the great catch. How many times have you seen Jimmy Graham make a great catch
for
Drew Brees or Marcus Colston? No, it has to work hand in hand. You help me, I help you, and all that. I thought, again, Spencer Rattler played winning football.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can stop by the Swamp Room. It's 5400 Veterans in Metairie. Meanwhile, we're taking a break. We'll be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Saints Point After, brought to you by McDonald's. One of the studs of today's game, everyone calls him the old man, but Cam Jordan ended up having 1.5 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, a pass defensed, also 2 hits on the QB. He spoke to the media after today's loss, but here's what Cam had to say.
Cam, you said it was a tough year for you last year. How did it feel to be in this defense, you know, get a sack and a half, 3 pressures? I guess how does it feel to you?
One was free. One I had to earn. You know, one I missed. So we got growth. We got growing to do. You know, as we're in season, I'll let accolades be where they are. I just want to help the defense try and win, and I feel like I can do that. And when activated, just call my name, and I'll answer every time. I think that our defense has shown some possibilities, and we still got to continue to grow. We let a long streaky run happen on a, you know, headed towards the sideline, whatever that was, that went for like 40 or 50, and that was in a quarterback scurry. We eliminate those 2. I feel much better about the day on the run. And at the end of the day, we showed up big in our 2-minute. I mean, just the way the defense was rallying. DeMario seemed like he was everywhere. Carl seemed like he was everywhere. I think our big middle was up their play as the game went on. I'm excited to be a part of the defense in any facet, let alone I'd love to be a part of it in every facet.
Which one do you feel like you missed? The one before that?
No, the one where he stepped up, half spinned out, like, and you know he was going to half spin out, but he stepped up, threw me off. And you can't get those back. It's all right. I think Grando ended up with 1.5. I saw him chase him down one. I said, okay, there we go. I said, I'm trying to average like 3 or 4 sacks on the D-line, across the D-line game, and we'll be in a great place in the long run. But at the same time, if we tighten up the bolts on the run and do what we need to do, we can help our offense out and get the ball back to them because they started clicking towards the end. You got a young quarterback. You got a young wide receiver core. You got young offensive linemen on our outsides. I think that there's potential there, and we're starting to see it. We just got to grow faster. We're in season now. There's no such thing as excuses. I feel terrible that we lost because we had a chance, and that's all we want is a chance, an opportunity. We got to figure out how to get a takeaway. I think that's what we were over on. There was tips and overthrows. We got to get those. And, we were close. Jules almost came down with it. And whatever it is, out of the sacks we had, we didn't have a strip attempt out of there. So that's on me. That's on Grando. That's on us. We got to be able to control what we can't control.
Sam, what was your reaction to Juwan's almost?
Man, I got excited. I turned up. I almost ran on the field. I did something. Yeah, I was dumb. But I love the way our team fought through the very end. I love being a part of the team. I kept smiling through the whole fourth quarter because I knew we were going to come back. If you see pictures out there, I was smiling. I was laughing. I was like, the energy was high. The vibes are great. You knew we were coming back. And we did. Until we didn't. Frick. But that's the game of football. That's what makes it so exciting. That's what makes you so vested into it. That was the brotherhood that we've bonded over at training camp. That's what, you know, you're just excited just to take the field for the first time and really have live bullets, and every play matters. And it's so precious to me because it's like you just don't know. Any given game, it could be your last one. And that's how I've played the last, 227 games. I don't know. You got to play it like it's your last because you never know.
Seeing Brian Brzee in another block like that,
I called him AAF, athletic as freak. Yep, that's what we're sticking with. It's a redemption run from his one last year where he buckled. He didn't buckle. He's still strong. And got another one. And, I mean, at this point, he's stacking. He's already doubled my block kick. So, I mean, he's better than I am in that facet.
Have you ever tried that?
They never called on me to jump over, which is crazy. Like, it's all right. I mean, come on. There's always some 6'5 freak that can do it, and Brian's our 6'5er. If I was 6'5, I assume they'd call me.
On a similar note, it looks like Grando tipped the ball in pass coverage. The athleticism across this defensive line.
I told you, he's 6'5. These 6'5 freaks, I'm trying to tell you. I'm the short one. I'm 6'4. It pissed me off. But I love the way Carl Granderson plays. I've been singing his praises for the last 6 years. His story is nothing short of amazing, but his tenacity, his want to is what really separates him. He wants to be in every play, and you see him across the field. He felt like he was everywhere. He walked down the long run. I mean, on the backside, took a great angle and showed everything, and then still lined up the next play. We fought our way in. So I love Carl for what he does. I love Brian Brzee. I love our guys that are getting better each and every time they touch the field. Like I said, it's easy to get excited, and at the same time, I'm mad because we had a chance to capture this win. We got to figure out how to win. We've had a few years of, we're there. We're not there until you are.
To play as many snaps as you did, does that allow you to get into a rhythm where you feel more?
Absolutely. I mean, anytime you can have consecutive snaps, you start understanding the flow of the game, how they're going to, the feel of the game. But that's anybody and everybody. When you get substantial snaps, you have the abilities to make substantial plays. I think they go hand in hand. Or maybe that's just for me. I'm clearly biased.
Playing the edges out wider in this game, how much does that kind of free you up in the pass?
We'll see what happens next week. I don't know. It could be a week-to-week thing. We shall see. But, being back on the edge feels good. I think that, when you have guys that can stop the run on the edge, when you guys can convert to the pass, it clearly limits what the offense can do. And when you think about what we want to do going forward, it has to be an imposing our will on offense, which we didn't really live up to in that second quarter, but for the rest of the game we were. Can't get that back, though.
Hey, Cam, you moved into the top 20 on the all-time sacks list today. What is that?
I don't know. We don't win. We'll talk about it after the season. I could be top 10. I mean, if we don't get a win, I'm not closer to my goal. I want the Saints to win. It feels good, thanks, but that doesn't help us win. If one of those sacks had been a strip fumble and I took it back to the crib, that would have helped us win, and I would have felt way better about it. Moving to top 20, that's cool. I'm sure there's an unofficial list that probably says I'm the 30th or something like that. Who knows? There's so many different lists. At the end of the day, I let one go, and that's gonna irritate me for a little bit, as it should.
Yeah, I know it's on the other side of the football, but just what you saw from Spencer Rattler.
Started spinning that thing. I mean, Spencer, we all knew he's got moxie. We all knew he's got confidence and the poise and what we saw all training camp and what we saw glimpses of last year. And it looked like he was taking care of the ball well. He you know, I would like love for him to tuck when he runs through the pocket, but that's a quarterback thing. I get it, I guess. I think he was, I would just say, short of excellent in the second half without watching the film. I think we had a chance. And as much as I say, you know, I hate that it was only a chance, I think it was a good chance. Juwan made a hell of a jump, and I thought it was a catch, and then it turned out to be a catch. And I'm sure you guys were all feeling the way I was feeling, like, it was a catch, but it wasn't. So, you know, we got to figure out our way to win. There's no excuses in this game. It's a game of inches, and each and every finite detail means that much more to you.
Oh, it's Saints defensive end Cam Jordan after black and gold fall 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're rolling on here at the point after here at the Swamp Room. You can stop by, say hey to the Cajun Cannon, 5,400 veterans in Metairie. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Getting a little rowdy here at the Swamp Room. 5,400 vets in Metairie for the point after. Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, come and say hey to the father of the Hudak Nation. I want to remind everyone, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Yep. After today's game, their current donations are $2,140. We're going to go back and check in our WWL talk and text line. We got Daniel and Metairie hanging on, KJ Cannon. What you got for us today, Daniel?
Hey, how's it going, you all?
Doing good.
All right, Daniel, what you got?
So, I was letting you know that I went to the game today, and I'm walking my 2-year-old golden retriever, Archie, just to talk about the game from what I saw. I thought the offense, it's just like you said, Bobby, too many dimes, stalling out, not finishing in the red zone like we should, plenty of chances to win the game. And I would think offensively, maybe they'll talk about this besides cleaning up the penalties. I wanted to get your thoughts on maybe having Rattler roll out more, use his legs more. He's second leading rusher on the team. I think he can take advantage of that. And then on top of that, I wonder what it is with these black helmets. It doesn't seem to be winning these things.
Well, the thing is, I don't care what the damn uniforms you wear. If we don't want today, I'd say this, wear this every week. I'm kind of janky about that. It's like if we had black helmets, people like, I don't like the black helmets, the gold jerseys. But if you win, I like anything. Right? We can have all white, we can have all black, we can have everything. You just got to win. And then, you know, that's a good luck charm. But it's not my favorite. I'm kind of old school with the gold helmets. But, you know, the young generation, they want you to mix it up. You know, it's like everybody, the Gen Z, whatever, everybody's like the Oregon Ducks. You know who started all that? Phil Knight and Nike. Well, they have like 20 different uniforms, but the young people like that. And then you had the Maryland Terps. They had the Maryland flag inside their helmet. That was Under Armour. So when you look at all that, that's where it all came about. I forgot what they called it. When you change uniforms so much, what they call that? It wasn't the name slipping in my mind, but it was something when they would change it. It wasn't alternative jersey. It was some word anyway.
I'm trying to think.
Color rush.
Color rushes. I got you.
Did Charlie say that?
Yes.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie in your ear with the same.
See, Charlie got a young brain. He's on top of things. Yes. The color rush. Everybody, oh, this color rush. Listen, I'm all for color rush if you win. I'm like, hey, keep color rushing if you win. If not, then you kind of mix it up on what jerseys you're going to have. But, you know, when I look at, like, I always like great players. I like future Hall of Famers, whether on our team or the other team. And I tell you what, I'm going to acknowledge DeMario Davis. You know who else is a stud like DeMario Davis? Might even be a little bit better because he's never left the team. Lavonte David with the Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't even know what Lavonte David did today against the Falcons, but I guarantee he did good.
I'll check it out for you.
Yeah, check this out because I look at DeMario Davis. I said this in the pregame. He was only one of two active players with Lavonte David to have 1,000. This is the National Football League, 1,000-plus tackles. DeMario Davis has 1,377 and 100 tackles for a loss. He's at 110. Well, guess what? Double D, DeMario Davis, 9 total tackles today. He tied for the team league with Pete Werner and 2 tackles for a loss. Well, what did Lavonte David do today?
35-year-old Lavonte David had 9 total tackles, 3 solo, a tackle for loss, and a hit on the quarterback.
Hello.
Still being productive.
Yes. Like Cam Jarnall. Who's producing? Now, you want young guys to develop, but, like, I love a Lavonte David, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan. If you're producing, no, well, why put somebody younger in there? They don't have the experience, the game experience. But props go out to DeMario Davis. And then you look on the flip side. You look at the Cardinals. And I said this in the pregame. Like Buda Baker. Buda Baker. Guess who led the Cardinals in tackles? Okay, look, all these Cardinals players are going to make the defense better and all that. Who you think led the Cardinals in tackles?
The vet.
Buda Baker. Who's been playing forever. Buda Baker ends up having 10 total tackles. He has a tackle for a loss. The reason why I bring that
pass
up.
Pass defense.
Yeah, it's like just total, like, he led the team. He was second in the NFL. He had a career-high 164 tackles last year. He had a career-high 10 tackles for a loss. And you look, he's the first defensive back since 2000. That's a quarter of a century with 150-plus tackles and 10 tackles for a loss in a single season. The only defensive back with 85-plus tackles in each of the past 7 seasons. I don't know who the Cardinals are playing next week. But, you know, I know who's showing up.
Buda Baker.
Buda Baker. All I know is he's putting skids on the wall constantly.
And Cardinals have Carolina next week.
Well, I guarantee you have 10-plus tackles. just look at the numbers he's going to put up. You know what? And the Saints were aware of this. And look at the game he had because we were trying to stop him. The security blanket when you're looking at Kyler Murray. I think we did a good overall job against him, but Trey McBride, we talked all week about the damn tight end. Trey McBride ended up having 6 receptions. He had that long gain of 25, only a 10.5 basically yard average. He had 61 yards total, but this would caught my attention. You know, the environment, hostile environment, it's loud and loud in the Superdome and all that. He's now had at least 5-plus catches in 12 of the past 13 road games. So it was 11 of the past 12 road games. Now it's 12 of 13 road games as he had 6 receptions today. I just like great players. I just, sir, who you for, like whatever, like the 49ers, whatever. And Steve, a great player, a tight end that you think we'd have to stop. Like, okay, you make Brian, or don't get it easy. George Kittle. What's the status of George Kittle? Isn't he hurt with the 49ers right now?
Yeah, he left today's game with a hamstring injury, so we'll be monitoring that going into next week for sure.
I hope that ham's bacon and overcooked. Like, oh, I think I'm going to sit out the Saints game. Good. You can't play against the Saints. You're like, oh, I want all hands on deck. I just want to win. I don't want us to have to match up against Kittle. Because McBride, you know, that's kind of the quarterback security blanket when you have those type of tight ends.
And looking at the San Francisco 49ers right now, our next week opponent, they're trailing the Seattle Seahawks 10-7. Looking at the game, Bobby, McCaffrey's had 16 carries, 55 yards. He's just averaging 3.4 carry right now.
Yeah, and he was, is he healthy or not healthy?
Definitely not fully. He's also got, though, 6 receptions for 60 yards there.
Yeah, so you have to look at total yards of scrimmage.
Right, he's always a problem.
You know, the one thing I'm going to talk about this, Alvin Kamara and his production, we need him to double And the quarterback's got to lean upon Kamara. We need him to double his production today. Well, I'm going to talk about that as a runner and a pass receiving running back. And I'm sure Kellen Moore will, you know, design more plays to get him the ball in his hands, because you have to look at the touches. But Alvin Kamara, you can see he's still got a lot left in the tank. He can hit it and get it. But we need to give him more opportunities. I know it's a long season, but he needs to have double the production at least he had today. You can just look how the 49ers are leading on McCaffrey.
Great tease, Cajun Cannon, because when we get back to, we'll hear from running back Alvin Kamara what he had to say after the Black and Gold lose their season opener 20-13 at the Arizona Cardinals. Stop by, say, here at the Swamp Room. We're at 5400 Vets in Metairie. Taking a break on the point after. We'll be back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Rolling on here at the point after at the Swamp Room in Metairie, folks. Talking about one of the elite members of the Black and Gold, and Alvin Kamara scored the lone touchdown for them today. He also spoke to the media after the team's loss 20-13 to Arizona. Let's hear a little bit of what Alvin Kamara had to say.
What worked on the touchdown run?
I think just a look we worked in practice. I think we got what we want. The tempo was kind of was getting to him. We knew we would have that advantage right there. Great block by Juwan up out on the perimeter, and you know, I mean, it's easy when you got guys kind of selling out and you know, trying to bring a play to life. So kudos to them up front getting the job done. It was easy for me.
Did you want more of those opportunities in the run game in the second half?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, you know, every game has a different flavor. So it's a couple of things that we were doing that we were trying to get to. And, you know, some runs that I would have loved to get to that we just didn't, you know. And then, you know, you see how the game ended. We just pushing, trying to come back and get a victory. And, you know, tough play for Juwan. I know he'll make that play, but it's just tough when you're playing from behind right there, just pressing. I think he played well, man. I think he played well. It's a couple of things that, you know, it's things that I see, and I go to him, and he, before I even say anything, he's like, I got to do this, I got to do that. So he's very cerebral. He's understanding of what's going on. I mean, I think he's processing as the game is going. There's not a moment that slips by him that he's like, that he's unaware of, you know. So I think that's just something you grow on.
Can you share anything in general that you know he's learning?
Yeah, I mean, just I think one opportunity. I think it was on the third down. I'm walking up to him. It was a good shell look. I'm check down over the ball. I'm telling him like I'm going up to him to tell him like, hey, don't scramble around and take any hits. Like just plug the ball right. He's like, man, I got to hit you right there. I got to hit you. I got to see it. So you know, it's just things like that. Like I understand that he's processing the game, and I think Nuss and those guys know that he's processing the game. So
what did you like about how he was handling those last two drives?
Man, like I said, I think during the week, like. The type of person that Spence is, like, you wouldn't think that, you know, this is just his second year playing. Like, he walks into those situations and he just attacks them. Like, he doesn't come into the huddle and when you look at him, you don't see a young guy. You see a dude that's like, he's ready to go win. You know, so that's a good thing, you know, moving forward to see from him just the confidence that, hey, any situation, we're just going to attack it.
Why do you think there were so many pre-snap penalties, and how do you guys do that?
Yeah, just the tempo, you know, being honest, you know, when you play with that type of tempo, especially this is the first time out, you know, you got to be disciplined, and I'm not making an excuse for anybody. We all have to be better at running a play, getting to our tempo, getting set, and saying hut, you know, and I think that's all that falls on all of us, especially as a QB. I know he's going to say it's on him to get everybody set, but I mean, it takes all of us to, you know, make that happen. So I think it's just it'll get fixed. I think this week we'll watch the film, and I know I'll be vocal about it. We just got to get set. You know, some of those times, I'll admit, like some of those times I wanted to get in the huddle because I'm like, man, I don't feel like we're going to be able to get set correctly or get lined up correctly. I think it was a couple times where, you know, we're going tempo and guys are running from left to right trying to figure out where to line up. And, you know, to get to where you want to go, we got to be precise on every single play, on every snap. So part of me wanted to slow down, but the other part of me knew that with our tempo, we had an advantage. So, you know, we just got to be better. We all have to be better. So I'm not going to make an excuse. We just got to limit the those penalties in those situations.
Any other just big picture big wins?
Yes, in one game we got 16 more. I think Kellen said in the locker room, the only thing that this game says is that we're not going to be undefeated, which it is what it is, but we got to keep moving. We got another week. Thankfully, nobody, I don't think anybody's injured. I don't think anybody did. Anybody get? He's good. I talked to him. He's good. I think he'll be all right. But yeah, thank God nobody, nothing too crazy. But, yeah, man, we just got to keep going. We need more. And the good thing about needing more, we can't go nowhere for 16 weeks.
What did you make of Chris? Just, you know, it seemed like he was really kind of even out there at the end.
He really got what?
Just like really kind of grinding it out, like
Oh yeah, I mean that's Chris. You know, he's a competitor. He wants to make a play. He wants to be the reason why we win. Or you know, he wants to make the big catches. You know, that's the guy he is. You know, he works hard as hell, like hard as anybody during the week. So you know, for me, I love to see him. You know, in that mentality, in that state of mind, and then when those big plays do come to him, like I just love to see him having fun and happy. So I know he wants to make more plays. He caught a couple balls today, but I know he wants to make some big plays. So we just gotta keep working.
Yeah, I've noticed him fighting through, kind of like dealing with injury and things like that. Like he kind of gone to the injury tent a couple times.
Yeah, I think he just got rolled up one time. He fine. I mean, it wasn't too much to fight.
But did that mean anything to you?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I didn't question it. I just look at him like, you straight? Like we about to go on the field. He's like, I'm good. So you know, he cool. I don't worry when I look in Chris's direction. You know. So it's cool.
I know you don't care about personal accolades. Mm-hmm. But what did it mean to score 1,000 touchdowns in the Super Bowl? Or I don't know.
I didn't know. Nah, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. Anytime I get in the zone, it's a blessing, man. Game one touchdown. This is the only time we're going to talk about personal stuff, but it's cool, you know. Just scoring the first touchdown of the season. Need more. I think all around, all of us need more. I know Juwan want that touchdown, especially in that type of situation right there. You know, it put us in position to go be in the winning column instead of the losing column, right? But, you know, again, that's another guy that when I look at him, I don't worry. He works hard, as hard as anyone, and he'll be able to make those plays. So, yeah, you see how quickly I shifted from you.
Did you make anything of the lack of timeouts for like the end of the half?
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing 9 years, so you know, you get into that situation. And I looked up and I'm like, you know, you see that them little ticks, you don't see any of them, and I'm like, ah. So, you know, it's just, again, like those are the situations you prepare for in practice. You just got to be very, very aware of, again, the situation. So we're running a 2-minute drill with no timeouts. Everybody has to be dialed in. Get to the sideline if you can. If not, get the ball to Eric or the ref and let's go and execute. So I think Spencer did a great job just getting everybody in position, you know, clocking in when he had to, getting the play calls in and then, you know, hitting the routes that he had, you know, didn't really force anything. So, I mean, I think it's something to teach off of, something to learn off of.
Were you surprised the team didn't use any timeouts in the first half?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. I went too far into my little dissertation on that one. Yeah, my bad. I don't know.
I want to think about Kendre.
I mean, like I said, I think Kendre, he's a lot more mature, and not in the way that I think he was portrayed before. I think just from me watching him, I'm talking about maturity in his assignment. You know, just like I think his attention to detail and his focus is different. And you know, I can tell just because I'm just observing. I'm an observer before anything. So just watching him, he knows what to do. I think before he didn't know why a lot of times. You know, he was just out there, but I think he knows why. And you know, I think he's tuned in on, you know, when to do certain things. So I think he's going to keep growing, man. He's doing well.
Saints running back Alvin Kamara after the Saints losing 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals. Kamara had 11 carries, 45 yards, an 18-yard touchdown. Also added two receptions for 12 yards, Cajun Cannon.
Okay, let me tell you what I'm not for.
We need to see more of Alvin.
More touches.
Yeah.
More of Alvin Kamara, not less. I know it's a long season. Kellen Moore is going to realize this, but he can't have 13 touches. He got to have 20-plus touches.
Yeah, huh?
And it could be all the difference in the world. He needs to double that 57 yards total. I used to say this. When Alvin Kamara was really rolling, He's had games 150 total yards.
That buck 50 is a nice sweet spot.
No, that's too much.
125?
Yes, yeah. I always say 125 to 130.
Okay.
Even if he just doubled what he did today, it would be 114.
I'll take it.
And I think he's doing his job.
Right.
Just double that 57 total yards of scrimmage to make it 114 instead of 13 touches. I don't know, give him 10 more, 23. And it's not just like you pound him in there. Alvin won't last. No, you get him the ball in space.
Right.
And you do that. Now, nothing against Kidre Miller or Devin Neal. No, give them like never over a handful. But Alvin Kamara has
super
to be the workhorse.
Right.
He has to be that workhorse that Spencer Rattler can rely on, whether in the passing game or rushing attempts. Alvin Kamara, so I'm just going to break it down. 11 rushing attempts. That needs to be never over 20. I would say 15 to 20 in that range.
I was going to say 18 was my sweet spot.
Yes, 15 to 20 in that range. And then in the passing game, 2 targets, 2 receptions. He had a long gain of 7. No, that has to at least be a handful.
7 or 8.
A screen play.
Sure.
Or you run an option route, or Dalton Hilliard, what I used to do, like when they play man-to-man, depending on the leverage. It's a simple play. If it's playing zone, you sit in the zone, you get him the ball, and you go forward. That is so simplistic when you think about it. But who's your playmakers? Listen, I am all for Spencer Rattler running more because he did an awesome job. Spencer Rattler had 4 carries, 29 yards. He averaged more yards per carry rushing than Kyler Murray.
Right.
And Kyler Murray can run. Kyler Murray had 7 carries, 38 yards, a 5.5-yard average. Spencer Rattler, 4 carries, 29 yards, basically 7.5 yard average. He had that long gain of 12 yards. No, you want Spencer Rattler to have that ability to be able to do that. But I'm all for what are we saving Alvin Kamara for? You might say, he's an old running back. Well, don't save him. Use him. And he should not have a game where he only has 13 touches. No, that's not going to help the Saints win. He's one of our main players. I'm not telling Kellen Moore what to do, but I guess I am. He should have 20-plus touches. And then, Bobby, what if he gets hurt? Well, then, damn it, he gets hurt. It's football. They tackle. But I'm just telling you, he would give us an opportunity to win. We're just trying to win a damn game. Poor Spencer Rattler.
0-7.
He's 0-7. Come on, throw him a bone. Give him the opportunity to actually win a game. And receivers, whoever you are. I don't care, tight ends, receiver, catch the ball, help him out. Help him out. Now make the tough catch, and you're the hero.
What I did like to hear, too, is our, Dr. Alvin Kamara letting us know that Taliese Fuaga, he's fine. He talked to Fuaga and said, everything's okay.
Yes, he's fine. Listen, you dealing with something, whatever, like Chris Olave got tackled hard one time. My ankle is, hurting a little bit. You go in the tent? Give him a shot. Let's go. Go forward. Now everybody's so much money involved. Everybody wants to, I'm not 100%. I can't play. That's the difference. Now players are, I'm dealing with this here. I'm not saying you're not hurt, but this day and age, nobody plays hurt anymore because they worried about, I'm not going to put good film out there. But the bottom line, help your team win if you have that ability.
Cajun Cannon's always 100%, though.
100% now, and 100% back then. I don't know, in the future. Hopefully I'm 100%.
Taking a break here on The Point After at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie. You can stop by, say who dat to the Cajun Cannon. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned, folks, right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here at The Point After at the Swamp Room on Vets in Metairie. You can stop by and say, hey, the black and gold falling in their season opener, 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals, unfortunately could not pull out the victory in Coach Kellen Moore's debut with the black and gold. We're going to get into what's bugging Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. And Cajun Cannon, I know penalties is up there, but what's bugging you about today's game?
Yeah, you got to mention the penalties. Two areas. I'm going to look at offense and defense. Now, obviously, you got to sustain drives to win the time of possession. I think I was saying this in the preseason. Third down.
Yeah.
Third down, we can idea 5 of 14, 35.5%. And you might say, Bobby, why are you always harping on that? And what do you know about third down? All I know is in 1992, we were number one in the NFL at 48.5%.
All right.
And then Drew Brees, at times, we were over like 53, 54%. That makes a difference. when you're setting the tone to win the game. So third down efficiencies, definitely bugging me. And then red zone. When you get in the red zone, I don't know if that's going to change. Hopefully that changes because you won't win games. You won't score enough points. You cannot be 1-4, 25% in the red zone. So I would say that's bugging me. And then not just be on the offense because you have to look at it. It's a team game. You got to play complimentary football. We got to take away the football. Cam Jordan said it. Whatever. I don't care if you punch in and out. I'm not saying you got to scoop and score or pick six. But when you get your hands on the ball, somehow you got to get interceptions or you have to get foam recoveries. So when the game's over, we're on the plus side.
Right.
If we're on the plus side going forward, 9-0 or minus, we're going to win some games. I'm telling you, right now, the way they're parroting the NFL, just by that one thing, being on the plus side in a turnover margin, we will win games. So that's something defensively. Obviously, we keep what we're doing and protecting the football offensively, but we have to take it away. And DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, all the leaders on defense who's been around, they can emphasize that. We got to be more opportunistic when you have a chance and take the football away. Look, when we won the Super Bowl, listen, I'm not trying to bring him back up because, I mean, what he did off the field was unacceptable. But Darren Sharper. Why do you think we won the Super Bowl? We had like seven defensive scores.
Right.
Look where we were in that turnover margin and taking away the football in that magical season. No, that comes into play. That does not change from decade to decade. That is sound football, what you have to do to win games.
Right. You look at this black and gold bunch, Bobby, and yeah, getting those, you know, be able to convert those third downs are definitely key. We mentioned that, too. It goes hand-in-hand, though, with the penalties, though, where you can't put yourself in these situations where you're first and 15.
No, we're not good enough. A lot of NFL teams aren't good enough. You cannot, because that puts you behind the eight ball to try and convert. You're behind the sticks. You're not going to have success. No, I can tell you right now, if we have double-digit penalties or 9 or more, 100 yards, we ain't beating the 49ers.
No, like you mentioned,
we're not beating the Seahawks, we're not beating the Bills. That right there, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Giving away points.
And even if you're a good team.
Right.
That's what the coach will say, it costs you the game. So when you look at where we're at right now, that has to change. Now, you want the effort. You want the effort. You got to be disciplined and all that. It might be the crew. How are they going to call penalties? I think it was a flag-happy crew. Like I said, they threw 22 flags. No, to me, a good game, it should throw never more than 15. And that's for both teams. But if you're jumping off sides, illegal or like alignment, who's in the neutral zone, you have to call that. But like judgment calls, that's what you have to avoid. And, let the guys play.
What killed me early on was that late pass interference flag that came out, extending Arizona's drive.
Yeah, the judgment. Tugging on the jersey. It seems like when we tug on their jerseys, they always call that. When they tug on our jerseys, they don't call it. Well, no, we ain't got to talk about judgment call. Judgment call is the worst thing official because it's a judgment.
Yeah.
It just seems like we get screwed judgment call, the NOLA no call. To go to the Super Bowl. It wasn't no damn regular season game to kick off the season or during the regular season. That was to go to the Super Bowl. How can you not make that call? I'm still bitter about that. I'll go to my grave. That's ridiculous that you don't make that call. I guarantee if we'd have did that, they would have called it. Let's say you flip that and
for
we
sure.
Play in the Rams to go to the Super Bowl and one of our DBs, whoever it is, runs into the receiver. Oh, they throw in the flag.
What killed me about that too, Bobby, because I was on the sideline for that game. You know, that was my first year getting to do the sideline for the Saints. Not only the egregious penalty you could see, but you heard the helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yes, and you know what? It brought it up again, and it just like, man, you don't want, because it makes you mad.
Yeah.
The Saints are practicing against the Rams. Guess who was one of the officials at practice doing the Rams and the Saints? I remember that damn cat. I think he lives in Santa Barbara. He was doing the Rams-Saints practice even after the NOLA no call. He should be blackballed from the league.
Boo.
I mean, I'd investigate that son of a gun. You know, the NBA official got in trouble.
Right.
I mean, how can you be the big hit the hat who oversees everything? No, he was doing the damn practice. I swear, I came so close.
Sean McVay's buddy there.
Yeah, I came so close. I wanted to go chew him out. I said, I might get in trouble. I shouldn't do this. I'm too old to get in trouble to do that.
KG Cannon gets kicked out of practice for arguing with a ref.
No, just go tell him something. Say, you remember when you did this? And then I'll call.
I am watching you.
Call security. Call security. This Cajun's out of control.
We're taking a break here at the Point After at the Swamp Room. We'll return with even more. And your call is 504-260-1870 right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Who dat? Back here at the Point After, hanging out at the Swamp Room. You can catch us every home game. We'll have the Point After here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Aber. The Black and Gold losing their season opener 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals. Open the season 0-1 on the year. They're going to be taking on next week the San Francisco 49ers. Checking in on San Fran's game. They're in Seattle. That game's knotted up 10 apiece right now. 10-10, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter over there. Brock Purdy has passed 20 of 29, 210 yards with a TD. Christian McCaffrey's rushed for 68 yards for San Fran. Looking at this Black and Gold team, hopefully they can get in the end zone next week, even more against San Francisco 49ers. They have been holding Seattle in check. Like I mentioned, that one is 10-10 currently. We're going to check out our WWL talk and text line where we've got Patrick on the line in Houston. Patrick, what you got for us today here on the Point After?
Hey, gentlemen, it's great to hear you as always. Bobby, you know, I think that the Rats, as I like to call him, our starting quarterback, Spencer Rattler, I'm really not sold on him as a long-term solution at the quarterback position. Our defense played well, which I guess was to be expected. We thought that the defense would at least be somewhat improved this season. But guys, I hate to sound all doom and gloom, but I think we're looking at, and I think I've said this before in a previous call-in, I think we're looking at a 2-15 or 3-14 season. Lastly, I just want to give a special shout-out to the Southern Miss Golden Eagles, who picked up our first win against Jackson State in a fairly impressive fashion. So congratulations to Coach Huff and company for pulling off the W. Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Yeah, it was a rough outing for this Black and Gold bunch in the first game of the season. Spencer Rattler ends up going 27 of 46 passing, 214 yards, only one sack, his QB rating at a 70.4, sorry. He did have some rushing yards, too, adding into that 29 yards on four rushes, giving him a 7.3 average. I thought he had a decent game, did enough for this team. Unfortunately, there was some contested catch situations, which didn't end up turning out for the Black and Gold, especially that big one with Juwan Johnson right at the end of the game in the end zone, wasn't able to come up with a touchdown grab with the ensuing extra point, would have tied the game up at 20 apiece. I understand what you're saying with the outlook for the ball club this year. The start of the season, definitely a much tougher slate of games for the Saints. Coming at the end of the season, the opponents, the strength of schedule, you would say, tends to lighten up a little bit where you're facing some teams that you can hopefully take advantage of. I thought that they would be in this game until the very end, and they were. That 6.5-point spread I thought was a little too high. Of course, Vegas always able to, you know, pick it on the dot, it seems, most of the time. Arizona ends up being a 7-point winner after being a 6.5-point favorite. The 2-3 wins, I don't see that. I still think this team is at least a 5-6 win team going into this year. I could be wrong, though. Obviously, they start out the year now 0-1, snapping that skid of six consecutive season-opening victories for the Black and Gold. Looking at next week, it's going to be a tough matchup against the San Francisco 49ers squad that has a lot of veterans on there and will be a tough matchup with the Christian McCaffrey, who we know is a tough running back and receiver, kind of like an Alvin Kamara in there. And Brock Purdy has that experience as their starting veteran quarterback. We're taking a break right now on the Point After here at the Swamp Room. We'll be back even more, folks, as we get ready to close things out coming up on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Here at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie for the Point After. Enjoyed a delicious Swamp Burger, always one of the best around. We're going to hear some more post-game audio. Justin Reed spoke to the media after the Saints lost to the Arizona Cardinals week 1. Here's what Reed had to say.
A lot of work to still do.
There was a ton of fight in there. There's a ton of things that we did well, and there's a ton of things that we can still continue to get better at. I felt like offense moved the ball really well there at the end of the game. Defensively, I feel like we held strong, especially towards the end of the game in those must-win situations. But throughout the middle part of the game, I thought we lost too much on third down. You know, I think we needed to get off the field. It starts with myself. Every person feels like they can do a little bit better. Can't miss that tackle on that one third and long. That extends that drive and ends up in the point. So I let my team down in that moment. And there's other moments, too, where, you know, we can continue to learn from and continue to get better with.
Is this a game that you feel like y'all best step away?
Yeah, man. There's no game that I don't feel like we can not, like, there's no game I feel like we're ever out of. I feel like we can win any game, and I feel like our best is good enough. And you've seen that when we were playing at a high level, we were getting the stops we needed to make, and we were moving the ball when we needed to on offense. But we can't have the penalties. I think we had 13 penalties a day. We can't, you know, fight against ourselves throughout the course of the game.
Justin, how difficult is it to continue to have a penalty? That's a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he specializes in. He's going to buy time for his receivers and move around the pocket and hopefully break something open. So that was a challenge. I think we did a fairly decent job of it. Obviously, there's some plays there that we wish we can have back.
How frustrating is it when you feel like you've made the play to get up a field on third down and then you see the flag and there's a penalty to
offer? Yeah, you know what? In those moments, it's you can't really harp on it too much in that moment because our job is to go and play the next day. Go and play the next play. But, you know, that just goes back to what I said earlier. Like, we can't fight against them and ourselves at the same time. You know, we eliminate the penalties. We play smart football. We'll have a chance in any game we play.
In the second half, y'all held them to only 3 points. Was there something that y'all changed at halftime? Was there any adjustments to try to slow them down?
No. We had the same game plan in the second half as we had in the first half. We just committed to it more. We didn't make the same mistakes. We didn't miss the tackles. We made the plays we needed to make when we made them. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about. If we continue to do that, bring that with us into the second quarter, I think we'll play a lot better.
That was Saints safety Justin Reed after the black and gold fell to the Arizona Cardinals 20-13 in the season opener. Let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Saints falling 20-13 to Arizona in the season opener. We just heard from Justin Reed, the Saints safety. Had a bit of a rough game. I know Cajun Cannon, you've been tough on him. He had 6 total tackles in the game, 3 solo for Justin Reed. Needs to be more of an impact, though, on this defense. Talking about Justin Reed. We heard from him a little bit of the audio.
Yeah.
But I was saying, not a great game for him overall.
Well, he's a seasoned pro. How about, he says, instead of I need to be better. Come on, we brought Justin Reed from the Chiefs. He needs to be where we have the best duo of safeties, him and Blackman.
Right.
But the score was 10-10. If we recall, now it's the second quarter. And it was this is to me, like, what is game-changing moments?
Yeah.
Because after this drive, as the Cardinals went 10 plays, 71 yards, the Cardinals are now winning 17-10. So when this occurred, it was 3rd down and 10. Isn't that supposed to be favorable for the defense? You want to get opposing offense. Like the 49ers, wherever we play, 3rd down and 10. Hell yeah, we should win. Murray hitting McBride, the tight end, for plus 12 yards. Okay, you complete the pass. It was under the sticks. Justin Reed missed the tackle. To gain 12 yards, 1st down. Okay, that right there was significant. Now all of a sudden there was another situation. Now it's 3rd and 12. Shall we stop him? Murray to McBride, Justin Reed in coverage, plus 25. And that's when they had 1st and goal on the 8-yard line, Murray to Connor, that little flip 4 yards, like I said, to make it 17-10. No, we need Justin Reed to be like awesome. I'm not talking about good. We need him to be great. Him and Blackman, we need them to be great, you know, in Brandon Staley's defense and what we're asking him to do. We need Justin Reed, I'm going to tell you, to play on the level and contribute like Cam Jordan, a seasoned veteran, or Carl Grandison.
I thought you were going to say Buda Baker.
No, he ain't no Buda Baker. But Buda Baker is one of the best in NFL history. No, there ain't too many cats like Buda Baker. He's not being recognized because he's played for the Cardinals.
Right, I hear you.
If that cat would have been in Chicago or New York, they'd build a statue of him. If he was in to play for the Giants or the Jets or something, Buda Baker's that guy. No, he don't have to be Buda Baker. He just has to be reliable, like our top players, like a Carl Granderson or Cam Jordan, to be a difference maker. You're a seasoned veteran. Now, Kool-Aid, he's learning on the run. He's a young player trying to be a corner. They're going to keep
number one guy now.
They're going to keep picking on him. Alante Taylor, I thought, considering with his injury, he stepped up.
Nice sack.
Yeah, that nice sack. A timely sack when that came about. Now, I know he only had two total tackles. That was a timely sack. He also had a tackle for a loss of quarterback hurry. But when I look at that, we need Justin Reed to come up big time and redeem himself against the 49ers.
That's a wrap here of The Point After here at the Swamp Room. Hope you had a good one, folks. We definitely had a blast talking about the game. Be back tomorrow, the Cajun Cannon at the Silver Slipper Casino with Mike Dettillier. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the great Houdat Nation.
All right, bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.